that I say, but Lord, about your heart. Lord, convey your thought, your heart, your mind, and Lord, cause us to be hearers. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I spoke with you all about the complete church. The state of being complete to which I referred has nothing to do with the size of a congregation. In the world, there are many who look at how large a church has grown, or how many programs that are being operated, or how many different culture groups or races or ages are being ministered to, but none of those things constitute a complete church. The completion that I was speaking of is the completion of what God has promised to his true children in the faith. Do we have any true children in the faith out there? Paul the Apostle made reference to the church being made complete in his letter to the Philippians. Let's read that together in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul wrote, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul said that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. The completion that we're seeking is the work that God has started. Most of us can identify with the things that we've started ourselves. Has anybody ever started something? Nobody ever started anything? We've all started things. Especially those of us who are goal-oriented. Some people just kind of like to roll with the punches, just kind of ride the wave of what's happening around them. But there are others who are goal-oriented people. For them, it's an everyday thing to have a new experience, set a new goal, and begin trying to accomplish that goal. Anybody come to mind when I say those things? Goal-oriented people. We all set goals for ourselves. And then we begin the process of reaching out toward the goal. In life, we have desires. Anybody have desires? Stuff that you really want to do, things that you really want to accomplish. Things that you've got this mental picture of, that you say, that's me, that's what I want to do, that'll make me complete. And often, those desires cause us to become fixated. We become narrow-minded. Everything else we can block out except the one thing we're reaching toward. The one thing that we want more desperately than anything else. We get this fixation, and that becomes the focus of our every moment. As children, we grow up with an idea of what we're going to be when we grow up. Pastor Joe, what do you want to be when you grow up? As children, we always had this idea in our mind that we wanted to be something when we grew up. Little boys, maybe they wanted to be a fireman. You open their closet, and they've got this plastic raincoat and this little plastic red hat, rubber boots, and a hose that was attached to nothing. But they wanted to be a fireman when they grew up. Believe it or not, I wanted to be a cowboy when I grew up. You opened my closet and there was the, you know, the six shooter with the holster and one on both sides. I had the cowboy boots. I had the little straw hat that, you know, got smashed in the bottom of the closet. You punch the top back out and just wear it anyway. And you did all these things thinking that when you grow up, I'm going to be just like that. You know, for little girls, they probably didn't want to be firemen or cowboys. But they had their things that they pictured in their mind. Maybe they wanted to be a nurse. Others wanted to be doctors. Some wanted to be airline pilots. When I grow up, I want to be. And we had this fixation in our mind. We're going after this thing. Of course, as a little child, as you grow up, sometimes the focus changes. Something else is cooler. Something else seems to really grab you, and your fixation changes. But as we get into our teenage years, it might have changed a whole lot from what it was when we were a little child, but we still have these goals in our mind. And maybe it's not so much as a profession. Maybe it's things that we want. People get in their mind that, especially as teenagers, we get these cars in our mind. Anybody ever get stuck there, hung up? And the people that had the really cool car became our idol. And as young adults, maybe it was the house we wanted to own. We were tired of the apartment lifestyle. And we saw these neighborhoods with all these nice, big, fancy brick homes and the manicured yards and just the status symbol, and we began to reach out and try to obtain that. It doesn't really matter what our goals were. If we wanted it bad enough, we began reaching out to try to make it happen. If the things we wanted were material things, then we found ways to be able to make it ours. We would either get a job and maybe work two jobs trying to save the money so that we would qualify, or you know, nowadays you don't even have to have a lot of money. All you got to do is sign your name on a note. Whether you've got enough money and make enough money to pay it back or not, they will give you a loan. And so it's a whole lot easier now than it used to be to get whatever you want. Does anybody identify with what I'm saying yet? But the more you wanted something, the more you applied yourself to getting that very thing. Thinking that all along the way, you were working toward a completion. When it finally happens, I will be complete. Come on, you thought that, didn't you? Okay, I'm talking to myself this morning. Because, you know, for those who wanted to be an airline pilot, you know, they don't hand those out as easily as they do a driver's license. Praise God. I've seen the way some of you people drive, and I'm glad that we don't have to fly in the same plane with you. There's a stringent set of rules and great qualifications that have to be met before they're going to turn you loose with a pilot's license. You know, and I grew up with some people who wanted to be firemen beyond just their 7, 8, 9-year-old stage as teenagers. They still wanted to be a fireman. But they found out really quickly that not just anybody qualifies. If that's what you want to do for a living, it might be a little bit less stringent for a volunteer. We could ask Robert Grimes here. He could probably fill you in on the details. But If you wanted to get paid for doing that, there were qualifications that had to be met. There, not just anybody was in physical condition. And if you weren't in physical condition, if you couldn't pass the test that they gave you, then you weren't qualified. So then someone who wasn't qualified had to work all the harder if that's what they truly wanted to do and who they truly wanted to be. You don't just graduate high school saying, I want to be a doctor. Get myself a little leather doctor bag. Stethoscope around my neck. It takes a lot of work, a lot of schooling to qualify to be a doctor. But if someone knew that they knew that they knew that that's what they wanted to be, they applied themselves and they went after the goal. I'm doing real lousy this morning at following my notes. And so many of us had those goals that we were reaching out for when we found out what the qualifications were and how much it would cost us to get it. How many of you soon changed goals? You started out well, but you found out it was going to cost you more than you were willing to pay. And we can look back at the things we started but never finished. And we probably wouldn't want people to know how many times we failed. Anybody besides me ever fail? We started, but we never finished. We began, but we never got there. We started but never achieved the ultimate that we had set out for at the time we began. The sad truth is that we often fall into that same trap in our spiritual lives. As new believers, we set out with spiritual goals because we want to please our Savior. Can anybody remember that feeling? We set out with a goal. We recognized that He came and gave life. We recognized that we were nothing without Him. And all of a sudden, we had this love affair with Jesus going on. And we wanted to please Him. That was our goal. You remember that goal? Or have we forgotten? As maturing believers, we want to raise the bar, our spiritual standard. Because none of us wanted to stay at the same level we were at when our new life began. Has anyone started the process? Raising the bar? Reaching out for something deeper? For something more spiritual? Even more like Jesus. Has that been anybody's cry? The more that we read and understood the Bible, we would see how much we still lack. And so we would strive even more to become like Jesus. But where we most often miss the mark is that we try to accomplish these things, these spiritual milestones, by our own natural strengths and abilities. We use the same tactics that we used when we were pursuing our natural material desires. And it's no wonder that we don't succeed. We're using the same methods that we've already proved they don't work. Anybody hear me? We try to accomplish spiritual things using the same methods that we know didn't work in the natural realm. The scripture that we started out with didn't say God would finish the work that we started. It said he would finish what he started. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. As believers in Christ Jesus, our heart cry should be, Lord, finish what you started. It should be, Lord, finish that which you began in me. Our day-to-day existence should be structured in such a way as to allow him to have full control of all that it is which he wants to do. I recognize all too well it's easier to say than it is to live out. It requires something from us. We have to have a constant attitude of surrender. A constant surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can't attain to the things that the Spirit has for us by constantly striving after them in the flesh. Paul hammered that point home when he wrote to the churches in Galatia. Let's look for just a moment at Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Paul writes, O foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. These believers, the ones that Paul is writing to, are apparently those who started out well. They started out well. He says, having begun in the Spirit. Anybody here have their beginning in the Spirit? Having begun in the Spirit, he's writing to those who were spiritually alive. They had experienced a new birth. They had begun in the Spirit. You know, that's the starting point for every born-again Christian. It's where you began. If you didn't begin there, guess what? You didn't begin. It's your starting point. Having begun in the Spirit, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, starting in verse 5. It says, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you have to be born of the Spirit. Otherwise, you can't enter the kingdom of God. If that process hasn't happened yet, you're still in the old kingdom. You haven't changed your residence. You have to begin in the Spirit. Or else there is no spiritual life. You must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. When Paul preached on the day of, or rather when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said that the Holy Spirit was available to all who would come to Christ for salvation and for the forgiving of their sins. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Starting in verse 36, Peter says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. He's available. Not only does the Holy Spirit bring us to the point of the new birth, at that point of the new birth, He becomes available to us. It should be what's that word? Use a different word then. It should take place. It should be a mutual happening. He should bring us to the point of new life, and the new life should bring us to the point where He's there. He's available. You begin in the Spirit. And then at the beginning, He wants to come and fill you at the same time. So back to the church at Galatia. Paul said, you started well. You began in the Spirit. It was only by the Spirit that they experienced life. It was only by the Spirit that they had received that transformation. It was only by the Spirit that the change came. He said, you started in the Spirit. We all started in the Spirit if we're in the kingdom of God. We started there because He's the one who gave us that new birth. He's the one that produced the life within us. That's where we started. But none of us want to stay where we started. As we watched the children up here, as they were reading Psalm 23 in Spanish, and the little, barely walking, little boy came up here, and there was a day, and it was only about a year ago, that he made his first appearance in this church. He was all little and bundled up and in the car seat and shrivelly and, you know, got that newborn baby look, can't do nothing, somebody got to feed him, somebody got to change him. But this morning, he wasn't content with that condition he first walked in here. He came running down the aisle, and where all the other kids were, he wanted to be there. And he wasn't content to be in the car seat anymore. I'm going to run the aisles. Because he had a goal in mind that I'm going to grow up. As believers, we should have the same goal. I'm going to grow up. I'm not going to stay that little baby that has to be bottle fed. I'm not going to stay in that place where somebody has to do everything for me. I'm going to move. I'm going to progress. I'm going to grow up. He had his beginning, but there was a progression beyond the beginning. For the church, as Paul writes to them, he says, you began well. You began in the Spirit. There was a new birth that took place. You received real life. But something happened. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now growing up? Are you now maturing in the flesh? Are you now being made perfect in the flesh? It's stated in such a way that you know the answer is no. You can't have a spiritual beginning but have a maturing process in the flesh. If you begin in the Spirit, you're going to grow in the Spirit. You're going to mature in the Spirit. You're going to be made complete in the Spirit. You're going to be perfected in the Spirit. He says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Something happened. Somewhere the church got off track. He says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? And the tendency, even among believers, is to try to pick back up where we left off. I've seen so many people walk to the front of a church having an emotional moment. And they were crying and they were weeping and they prayed a prayer and people were consoling them and people were rejoicing. Oh, you just entered the kingdom of God. You've just had a new birth. You're a new spiritual creature. But I've seen those same people get up from the altar after the closing prayer and go back and try to pick up where they left off. It won't work. Because if you begin in the Spirit, there has to be a maturing in the Spirit. You can't go back to the flesh and get to where the Spirit wants to take you. And we see what the Lord requires of believers. We know that He has a high standard and a high mark. And we see that as new converts. And so many try to pick up. Anybody ever try to fix things your way? We see a problem and we've got to fix it. We know it's got to be fixed. But we try to fix it our way. We could sing along with Frank Sinatra, "I did it my way." We tried to fix everything our way in the natural arena, and we somehow try to fix our problems and weaknesses in the spiritual arena with those same rotten techniques. And then we wonder why it doesn't work. We think that if we simply apply our understanding and add a little dedication to being a Christian, we're going to succeed. Well, there are churches full of people who added their own understanding and a little bit of dedication, and they fell on their face. Yeah, I'm talking to some of you, aren't I? And some of me. It's never been the model. Our understanding doesn't come close to equaling God's plan. In fact, we're told not in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. We can't lean to our understanding. We can't lean on our own fixes. We're instructed not to lean on self. It requires a total trust and total dependency on Jesus Christ, our Lord. And to be totally dependent on Him requires the work of the Holy Spirit. Because you're not going to totally depend on Him without Him coming and taking control. You have to have the Holy Spirit in your life. The verse that we read earlier, Galatians 3, verse 3, in the NIV, it says, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law? Or because you believe what you heard? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Anybody here want to be a mature believer? You're not going to get there by human effort. It's a great goal to have, but let me tell you, you cannot get there by human effort. Again, he implies that spiritual life itself is only because we begin in the Spirit. The flesh can't add anything to what the Spirit began. Human effort can't attain the goal that God has for us. He asks in verse 5, does God give you a Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? And Paul, he's building a case here. So follow with me for just a moment as we understand the case he's building. They had obtained new life. Anybody here obtain new life? We've obtained new life. So had they. With this new life, they had received an impartation of the Spirit. You don't read anywhere in the New Testament when the church began that new believers came into the kingdom and didn't get an impartation of something. Impartation of the Spirit changed them. Some of them received spiritual gifts. On the day of Pentecost, the multitude that came rushing to see what was happening found them all speaking with tongues. Others received gifts of prophecy, gifts of healing, interpretations, gifts of faith, gifts of miracles. Wherever the Holy Spirit came, wherever the new life began, there was a manifestation of something spiritual taking place. I want to stop short of putting God in a box. I've heard it preached that unless you speak in tongues, you're not really born again. You haven't received the Spirit. That doctrine had me to a point where I just wanted to give up at one time. Because I was told I wasn't saved because I wasn't speaking in tongues yet. Let me tell you, I think you can speak in tongues. I don't care who you are, if you've been born of the Spirit, I think you can. But I don't think it's going to work the way everybody tells you it's going to work. I believe it's going to work when God says, okay, now's the time, and now I'm ready. And now you're ready. In my case, that's the way it happened. But I knew I was born again, and there was a spiritual manifestation. There was a transformed life that I knew was different. All of a sudden, I could read the same boring King James Version I'd always read, and it made sense. All of a sudden, I could say the things that God was putting on my heart, and it was just in my plain old East Texas words. And people got something out of it. It was empowered. There was a manifestation of the Spirit. And it took 2 years before the tongues ever came. I just kept believing that God wanted me to have everything. And I believe He wants you to have everything. By an impartation of His presence, miracles began happening in the church. It wasn't that the church after Pentecost came up with a magical formula. It's not that they just knew how to do miracles now. They hadn't matured to the point in Christ where they had learned all of God's secrets and now they could share them with others. From the beginning, they had received by faith. From the very beginning, they had received by faith. It was faith that took them out of the kingdom of darkness and planted them in the kingdom of life. It was faith that caused those lives to be transformed and changed because they believed that Jesus had paid the full price. It was faith that caused them to take hold of the very life that He had to offer. And by faith in who He was, the Holy Spirit was given. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was going to look like. They just knew that there was a promise coming. Jesus had told them to wait, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. They didn't know what that looked like. They'd never seen it before except in Jesus. Does He mean we're going to do that? Or does He mean something else? What is He talking about? I don't know what the promise of the Father is, but He told me to wait on it, and I'm believing He's been faithful all this time. He hasn't lied to us yet. And so I'm believing that He's real, that He's promised, and that He's going to fulfill it. And when it came, it wasn't something they had practiced. It wasn't something they had rehearsed. But it came. He said, you began in the Spirit. I've seen so many supposed Spirit-filled believers who ever, after having that one initial touch of the Spirit, tried to make everything else happen in the flesh. And we are commanded not to. You can't make it happen in the flesh. You know, there have been times in my spiritual walk where God has used me to prophesy. It doesn't happen all the time, and I can't make it happen. There have been times in my spiritual walk with God where He's used me to pray a prayer of faith and saw something happen that was above and beyond the natural realm. But I couldn't make it happen. He's used me in the past at times for healing. But I can't make it happen. Because I've prayed over people and they turn around and died. That's a real encouragement. Because I couldn't do it. I can't perfect the gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one who perfects them. I can't even operate them and make them real. He alone can do that. From the beginning of the church, they had received by faith, and God did the rest. Let me tell you, God did the rest. They didn't have practice to learn how to speak in tongues. Just say this, brother. Say it real fast. Repeat it. Quick. Just say anything. Hold on, brother. Hold on. They didn't have practice to make that happen. They believed by faith, and he gave. Well, we're going to practice our formula for healing. Get out that big bottle of oil. Say Jesus just right. In the name of Jesus. You didn't get the pronunciation right or it would have happened. It doesn't work that way. They didn't have practice. All they did was believe and he gave. Let me tell you, he's still a God who gives. Paul's correction of the church is in regard to them trying by their own efforts to earn their salvation by being good. You've turned back to the law. Don't get me wrong, I believe that we should make every effort to be good. I'm not asking anybody to stop trying to be good. That's not the point I'm making this morning. But there's a fine line between doing what we know to do is right and trusting in Jesus alone to do what we know we can't do. That's one side of the line, and the other side of the line is doing what we know to do and thinking that it's somehow going to be good enough. On both sides, people are trying to do good. But on the one side, you're doing everything you know to do and trusting Him to do what you know you can't. Because if you're doing all that you know to do, you're going to soon find that you don't do good enough. Anybody with me? Let me tell you this, you'll never get mature enough that you don't need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how many years you walk with Him, and I don't care if you speak in tongues for hours every day. You will never become mature enough that you don't need Him. Because He alone can complete what He began in you. And in a generation such as we, where God stands poised to bring great changes to a church and a culture that's void of spiritual life, we can't afford to try to finish by human effort. If there's any spiritual life in you at all, it's because you began in the Spirit. Let me say that again. If there's any spiritual life in you at all, it's because you began in the Spirit. You'll never be made complete by human effort. Does that mean we quit trying to do something good? No, it doesn't. But we can't trust in what we can do. There's a difference. You'll never be made perfect in the flesh. Paul reiterated, the Spirit is the one who works miracles through those who've received by faith. He talked about the faith of Abraham in Galatians 3:8. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Church, you are called to propagate the promise that was made to Abraham. God blessed Abraham for believing. and said that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Paul said that those who have like faith will be blessed along with Abraham. Anyone who has like faith will be blessed along with him. He said, Abraham, you're going to be blessed, and in you all the nations will be blessed. And if you have like faith and you're going to be blessed along with him, guess what? Through you, the nations are going to be blessed. Every day that passes, we draw nearer to the fulfillment of God's promise. God's going to complete the work that he finished, that he started. He's going to finish it. All we can do is surrender to his work. All we can do is by faith act on what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing. He's the one who gives the revelation of Jesus. Unless he came and revealed Jesus, you didn't have faith to believe. He's the one that when he reveals Jesus, we must act on what he reveals. He gives us the faith to believe and be born again. He's the one who gives the Holy Spirit baptism. And we have to recognize that it's him. And he's the one that does the work. He is the one that does the work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Who does the work? He's the one that did the work then. He hasn't changed. He's still the one who works the gifts. And for those of you who want to grow in grace, and you want to grow into the fullness of Christ, he's the one that does that too. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? The message hasn't changed after all these years. The message hasn't changed. All that God wants to complete in us, in fact, all that he's promised to complete in us until the day of Jesus Christ, he will complete by the Spirit. He will complete it by the Spirit. You won't complete it by human effort, but by surrender to him. I think the church has lost the idea of what surrender is. For too many, surrender is going to an altar one time and then repeating it every so often just to stay in good standings. Surrender is an everyday occurrence. Surrender is a morning by morning, all throughout the day. Every night at bedtime, it's all the time in between. ceasing after our own will and our own plan and our own desire. This morning, my exhortation to you is this. God's calling for a church to cooperate with His Spirit. There's some of you who've been trying to do it, to fix it, to live it your own way. The things that you're going through right now for many are heavy burdens. The Holy Spirit's drawing you. He's revealing Jesus as the only way. There's salvation in no other name. It was true in the early church. It's been true throughout the centuries, and it's still true today. He's still the only way. He's still the way, the truth, and the life. You can't cut that part out. It's always been true. It's always going to be true. He wants to begin a work in you, and He wants to complete it. Your part is to act in faith, just like believing Abraham. He says, those of like faith will be blessed together with believing Abraham. How many of you want that adjective added before your name? He wasn't just Abraham anymore. He was believing Abraham. And this morning, just picture your name. Is that adjective added before your name? Are you really believing? Are you? He wants to begin the work in you, and He wants to complete it. Your part's to act on faith. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. For others, you know that you're called to ministry. But you keep drawing up the plans and trying to tell God how we're going to do it. That's not God's plan. God took me around the mountain a lot of times as I told Him how I wanted my ministry to come out. If He had taken my advice, I wouldn't be here. And some of you are still at that place that I was at the foot of the mountain, walking in circles. He said, it's not going to work by your human effort. If you began in the Spirit, you're only going to become complete and perfect in the Spirit. His exhortation to you is surrender. He will accomplish His will if you move out of the way. For others, God has imparted giftings in you, giftings that the church needs, things that He gave to build up and edify the church, to help equip all of us. He's the one that operates them. I've met too many people in my life who thought they were called to be a prophet. They've got a word for everybody, and a thus saith the Lord. He doesn't need your help. When He decides to speak to the church, it will be empowered, and you don't have to make it happen. God doesn't need the man of the hour. He needs the broken vessel. When you become the broken vessel and you surrender that vessel to His hands, He will use what he's planted in you. He's still the one who operates the gifts, not you. You just have to cooperate with him. His question to you this morning is, will you? Will you cooperate? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? This morning, I believe that the Lord is saying he will bring a spiritual move in this body if you surrender. I believe that his encouragement to you this morning is that he can take care of all those mountains in your life. But it takes faith on your part. And faith isn't just, well, I believe that's true. Faith is when God says, I want you to jump off of that, and you can't see the bottom. And yet, knowing his faithfulness, you still jump. There's a difference between believing something and acting on it. The Lord has something for you this morning. I feel him speaking right now. It might not be anything I said that's moving you right now, but he is working. I'm going to ask the worship team to come again, and I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to respond to whatever it is that he's saying and what he's doing. For some, this might be the moment that you step out of the death and into his life. If you don't, by faith, you'll continue in the death, and you'll never experience what he has for you. For others, you've been living a day-to-day existence that has you worn out and feeling miserable. And he says, that's not the life I came to give you. But you're not going to receive what I have for you trying to do it yourself in your own way. You're going to have to get up and step out on the things that I'm revealing. Let's stand together and pray. Father, the message of the cross is such a simple message. Such a simple message that you did it. And all we have to do is respond by faith. Father, the message is dying to our own heart, our own will, our own desires, and simply believing the offer that you've made, that you will accomplish, that you will perfect, that you will complete all that you've began. So, Father, I pray this morning as you move across this body tonight, this morning, that, Lord, that there would be ears that hear, hearts that have a faith imparted into them just to begin stepping out. Father, I pray this morning for those who, Lord, they've been longing for life. Lord, they've been asking, they've been questioning. Every day, they've been breathing out those questioning prayers. Lord, are you real? Can I trust you? And all along the way, you've been saying, yes, I have your best interest. If you'll just come to me and surrender everything. So, Father, I pray this morning for an impartation of faith that would cause them to step out on that one truth that you're speaking into their life. And Father, that they would, by faith, step out of that death existence they've been going through and receive the life that you've promised. Father, I know that in this body, Lord, there are those that you've been working on to mature for months, some years, some maybe as long as I've been alive. You've been working on them. But God, the maturity is not coming in the way that they've chosen, Lord. You're desiring that by the Spirit they would be perfected. So Father, this morning I just surrender this time to you, the Father, that you would do what you want to do. Lord, I've delivered all that I have, that I've heard you speak. Lord, you've got to do the rest. So we give you the freedom to move, to transform lives, to change us, to mature us, to bring us into the fullness of your promise. Lord, do it as we surrender by faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.